One of the leading generals in the Second World War was an American general by the name of George S. Patton. He was a general in the army, and he must have been quite a difficult man to live with. I say that because on one occasion he said this: "Lead me, follow me, or get out of my way." I can't imagine he was an easy man to have breakfast with in the morning. Lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. I suspect in his life that many got out of his way. I suspect a very few led him, but we know that very, very many followed him. And most of his success as a general was due to the fact of, one, his own competence, and then secondly, the confidence that others showed in him. He was a great general because he was competent, and those who followed him had a great confidence in him. Why do we begin our message this morning by speaking of him? Well, we're returning this morning to this section in the Bible where the Apostle Paul addresses the believers at Ephesus as soldiers. And we're reminded here, firstly, of four things. First of all, that as Christians, we are soldiers at war. We are soldiers at war, and we need to remind ourselves of that because at times it doesn't look like it. And the battle which we face is an invisible battle. And we're so often dominated by what we see that we need to be reminded that in fact we are soldiers at war. Sometimes the Bible encourages us to see ourselves as sheep following a shepherd. Sometimes the Bible speaks of the people of God being a building in which God lives. Sometimes the Bible speaks of the people of God being a family, of us being sons and daughters and even servants. But here we're reminded that Christians are soldiers who are at war. We are an army. We are addressed here as soldiers. We sing hymns like "Onward, Christian Soldiers," or stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. The first thing we need to remember this morning is that Christians, we are soldiers at war. We're told here that we're wrestling. We're given an armour that we're then commanded to put on. We might remember that old chorus from the seaside beach there: "I may never march with the infantry, ride with the cavalry, shoot with artillery. I may never zoom over the enemy, but I'm in the King's army." And maybe we need to be reminded of that here this morning. One of the very last things that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, wrote was, "I have fought the good fight." He was aware that the Christian life was a fight. We're reminded here that firstly we're soldiers at war. Secondly, we're reminded that our warfare is spiritual. When we speak of our warfare as Christians, we need great care when we use the language that we do. And I say that because there are those of other faiths who speak of their spiritual warfare today who take up physical weapons. I mention particularly these suicide bombers. We are not on a military crusade involving physical weapons. Christians, in fact, love their enemies to death, as we've seen in recent days when we've read of the martyrdom of our brothers there in Turkey. It's very clear here that we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against demons, against the evil one, who is Satan himself. Firstly, we're soldiers at war, but our warfare is spiritual, and it's against a powerful, cunning, invisible and evil enemy. The third thing we're reminded of here is that there is no need for us to be conquered. Sometimes as believers we can seem to be rather overwhelmed by the battle in which we're involved, but there is no need for us to be conquered in this battle. We're given this rallying cry in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And if we're obedient by faith to this command, we will be able to do exactly what Paul says we will be able to do. We will be able to stand and stand and stand and withstand the enemy. We will be able, by faith, to resist him. We will be able, as we read here, to quench all the fiery darts that he aims at us. There is no need for us to be conquered. And fourthly, we are reminded that we need not be conquered because, in fact, we are told to put on our weapons. As we shall see this morning, our weapons are unusual weapons. We are told here in verse 11 to put on the whole armour of God. We're told the same thing again in verse 13. And in six of our recent Sunday mornings, we've been looking at these six pieces of armour that the Christian is instructed to put on. We've seen that around our waist, just as the Roman soldier put round him a girdle or a belt, so the Christian is to put around them a belt which is what? Truth. Just as the Roman soldier put on a breastplate, so we're instructed to put on the breastplate of what? The breastplate of righteousness. Just as the Roman soldier put on those sandals, those hobnail sandals, so we're told to shed our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we've looked at what all these mean. We're told to take the shield, as the Roman soldier took the shield, but our shield in the spiritual battle is faith. We're told to take the helmet, just as the Roman soldier took the helmet, but our helmet is the helmet of salvation. And lastly, we're instructed to take the sword, just as the Roman soldier took that short-handled sword, but our short-handled sword is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so we've looked over these past 6 weeks at what it is to put on those six pieces of armour by faith. First of all, having that hidden confidence that comes from believing the truth. That means putting the belt on. We put the belt of truth on, that means that we believe what God has said about himself and us, and about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And putting on the belt means that as a Christian we go on owning that truth, laying a hold of that truth, seizing it, relying upon it, depending upon it moment by moment, every day. Putting the breastplate of righteousness on is looking up to Jesus in faith and relying upon him and rejoicing in the fact that he is our righteousness. For a believer here this morning, we're no longer standing in our filthy rags in which we once stood. We're now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He's given us that. And so we're to look up to him by faith as we put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to live by faith in the possession of the peace which we've come to know in God. Once we were his enemies, but Christ has made us his friends, made peace for us by dying for us on the cross. And so every day we're to put on those sandals which remind us of the gospel of peace. We have peace with God. And so we should live as those who know that peace. We're to trust him with the shield of faith. Say, I do believe your word. I won't believe this lie. Lord, I believe you. Putting up the shield of faith. By putting on the helmet of salvation, we're seeing ourselves first and foremost in terms of those who've been saved. It's not my age, or my gender, or my job which is most important. The most important thing about me as a Christian is I've been saved. Christ has saved me on the cross. I'm saved today, and I'm going to heaven. The salvation I know now, I'm going to know in fullness then. And that makes an impact on me as I live today. It's part of my hope. As a Christian people, we're a people of hope. And then lastly, we saw how we're to wield the Word of God, we're to use it, just as Jesus used the word of God when the devil came to tempt him. We're to bring out those verses and those truths which we need to say when we are in temptation. So we are soldiers at war. Our warfare is spiritual. There is no need for us to be conquered. We are to put on our weapons. And in a sentence, that means that we are consciously, as Christians, to live by faith in this new realm into which we've been placed. We've been taken out of one kingdom, which is the kingdom of darkness, and we've been brought into the kingdom of light. Now we're in this new kingdom. Live as subjects of this new kingdom. Live in this rather strange, foreign, and peculiar way, where the things which are uppermost in your life, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your living, are these things: truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word. That's what it means to be putting on the whole armour of God. It means to be living in this new realm. Now, we've seen that this new realm is to be our very breath. The fragrance of this new world, this new kingdom, should be apparent to us every moment of the day. Part of my family on my mother's side were born and brought up in a place called Victoria Road, Aston, in Birmingham. And it, of course, was a lovely place to live, being near to Villa Park. It was a lovely place to live as well, because the homes actually were knocked down so that Spaghetti Junction could be built right through where they used to live. But right opposite where my nan used to live, behind the houses opposite, was the HP Source factory, which of course sadly now they've closed down and sent the work to Holland, I think. And just down the road and round the corner was Ansell's Brewery. My, it was a pleasant place to live. And the realm of living in Victoria Road, Aston, was known every moment of the day. As you can imagine, you knew where you were living by the smell. You knew where you were living by the combined smell, I can smell it now, of the HP Source Factory and Ansell's Brewery. If you were blindfolded and taken to my nan's house, you'd have known where you were, in what realm you were living. This is Aston. So it should be for the believer. We're living in this new realm, and it should be the very fragrance of which we're living in day in and day out. That's what we've been reminded of as we've been through these verses. We're soldiers at war. Our warfare is spiritual. There's no need to be conquered. Put your weapons on. Live in the reality of this realm by faith. Now this morning I want to try and close our consideration of these verses 10 to 17. And I want to do that by answering some very simple questions this morning, having reminded us of that summary. And I want to try and close our consideration of these verses, partly because in the last 6 weeks we've zoomed in great detail on each of these six pieces of armour. We've seen in detail what the helmet was, what the sword was, what the shield was like. And before we move on to verse 18, I want us to zoom out again for two reasons. One, for clarity, and secondly, for perspective. That we might just be clear about what it is Paul is saying here, and having zoomed in on each of the weapons, zoom out for some perspective before then adding a second key conclusion this morning. Last week we noted how important it was that we read and learnt our Bibles, how vital the Word of God is in the battle. How do we know all that we know about the battle? Because the Word of God tells us. The Word of God is given to equip us in the battle, so we must be reading it and applying it, memorising it, meditating upon it. And last week we were encouraged to take perhaps for us that first step back to God by rereading his word again. But this morning I want us to look at a few simple questions, and then I want us to add a second conclusion, the first being how important the Bible is to us. And the first question I want to ask and answer this morning is, who is it who is at war? Who is it whose warfare is spiritual? Who is it who needs not to be conquered? Who is it who has to put on these weapons? And Paul has already given us three answers. I want to remind you as we zoom out. Who is it who's to put on the whole armour of God? Well, first of all, it's the wonderfully blessed. It's the Christian. I want to remind you this morning how wonderfully blessed the Christian is. And we learn of that from the opening verses of this letter of Paul, where we see that as Christians who are now in Christ, united to him by faith, we have been blessed in the heavenly realms, Paul says, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're a very rich people here this morning if we're Christian. Not necessarily rich in the world sense, of money in the bank account, a nice home. Those things are nothing in comparison with the glories of being rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it who's to put on the armour? It's those who've been chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless. It's those who've been adopted into his family in love. It's those who've been forgiven all of their sins. It's those who've been redeemed, we read there in the opening chapter. That means that Jesus Christ has given his precious blood to wash away all of our sins. We haven't been freed because someone has given gold or silver. We've been freed because Jesus Christ has given him his own blood and has died for us. So we're a wonderfully blessed people. We know the joy of peace with God. So when we say, who is it who's instructed to do these things? Well, it's the believer. And a believer is a wonderfully blessed man or woman. And these opening verses of this letter to the Ephesians tell us what it means to be a believer. It's not about going to church. Not about saying our prayers. It's not about trying to be the best person that we can be. That will never be good enough for God. It's about being someone who is in Christ, which means that we are united to Him through believing in Him with all of our heart, having turned from our sinful ways. And in Him we know peace with God, forgiveness for all of our sins. In Him we know that we're now going to heaven, whereas once we were going, as it were, to hell. So who does these things? Number one, the wonderfully blessed. Secondly, the radically changed. We've seen already in this letter how changed a Christian is. We were once, like an unbeliever, spiritually dead. We were once on the broad way which leads to destruction, the Bible tells us. We were doomed. And we were dominated by this world and by the one who rules this world and blinds us. The Bible says that is Satan or the devil. Whereas that was once true of us, the Bible says here in Ephesians, we've been made alive. Once we were dead, now we're alive, spiritually speaking. Once we were blind, now we can see. We've been raised from our spiritual death, even to sit with Christ in the heavenly realms. We're an utterly, radically changed people. It's not a matter of I've decided to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's much bigger than that. God in His kindness has taken those of us who are Christians here this morning and He's made us Christians. Once we couldn't see, now we can see. Once we had no interest in Jesus and in His forgiveness, now He and His forgiveness are everything to us. That's the great change which has been brought around in us. And it's pictured here in this letter in terms of putting off one set of garments or clothes and putting on another. It's a radical change when somebody becomes a Christian. We put off all that we were, and in its place we put on all that we now are in Christ. As they say at the Anglican baptisms, we renounce sin and we turn to Christ. It's a decisive act of repentance when we lay aside and walk away from all that we once were, as we now embrace all that we are in Christ. Who puts on this weaponry? The wonderfully blessed, the radically changed, and thirdly, those who, being different, are now to live differently. The Apostle Paul has been concerned through this letter to say, walk in this way, walk in love, walk as children of God, conduct yourselves, behave in a way which shows what you are. You are now something new and different. You are a child of God, your sins are forgiven, you are in Christ, so you need to live differently. You need to put away your lying, and now you need to speak the truth. And that's what he's been dealing with, putting away those aspects of our old life, our habits. Now that we're Christians, we put those away and we put on the corresponding virtue. We speak the truth in love. So who is it who's to put on the armour? Well, it's the Christian. And the Christian is wonderfully blessed, radically changed, and being different are to live differently. Second question, where and when is the Christian to do these things? When and where is the Christian to live the soldier's life? Sunday morning between 10:30 and 12? When somebody from the church comes down to visit us? When somebody's watching us? Of course not. When and where is the Christian to live the soldier's life? Always and everywhere. In the everyday. Being a soldier is an inseparable part of our daily walk. And that means that we need to see ourselves as soldiers in what we might call the nitty-gritty of our daily lives. It's not just when we're reading our Bibles that we're soldiers. It's when we're being a mother or a father. It's when we're working in our place of work. It's when we're queuing up, as I often say, at the co-op there. We're soldiers. When we're washing our dishes, when we're in the kitchen, when we're walking down the street, when we're driving our car, we're soldiers. And therefore we need our armour on. Have you ever seen a soldier out there in battle who decides he's going to give himself a holiday? You'll normally see him fall on the battlefield. He's a soldier through and through. And so is the Christian. Who is to put on the armour? The wonderfully blessed, the radically changed, the being different who must live differently. When and where are they to live this soldier's life? always and everywhere. We can see that from the way that the themes mentioned here in the six items of armour, truth and righteousness and peace, they've been spoken of already in this letter. In the nitty-gritty of daily living, Paul has spoken to them about speaking the truth in love, about living peaceably. They're all there. It's in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. Thirdly, how are we to live this life? We looked at these four things in summary this morning. We're soldiers at war. Our warfare is spiritual. We need not be conquered. We're to put our weapons on. Living a life by faith in this reality. It's the wonderfully blessed, the radically changed, and the being different who must live differently who are to do these things. And we are to do them always and everywhere. The third question this morning is how? How are we to live the soldier's life? And the answer for us in summary this morning is this, and it's an important one for us. It isn't by our experience or our ability or our cleverness or our understanding or our intellect. If that is how you are trying to live your life as a Christian soldier, you are bound to fail. The only way which is known in the Bible, which Paul speaks about here, how we live this life, is by the power of God. That's why in the rallying cry, look in verse 10, we're told to be strong where? Not in our intellect, but to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can you see that? It's in Him. It's in His power. It's in His might that we are to be strong. The arm of flesh, relying upon ourselves, will fail us. We dare not trust ourselves. The Christian life can only be led in the power of God. I'm concerned today that we are so diminishing the Christian life that we're almost making it possible for someone to live it on their own. The Bible says this is the Christian life. We ignore what the Bible says. We make up our own rules. And it would almost be possible for somebody to live the kind of life that we say the Christian life is today in their own strength. And it isn't. The Christian life is impossible to live in our own strength. When we see what the Christian life is, we recognise our great need of God's power and strength. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. You can only live by the power of God. Now, of course, Paul knew that power working in him. In another letter he wrote to the church at Colossae, he said in verse 29 of chapter 1, I labour, so he's at work, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. He doesn't just say, oh, let go and let God. God will sort it out. He works and he labours. But as he works, as he labours, he knows the power of God at work in him. To the church at Philippi, he says in chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He does all things, but he can only do that because he's aware of the power of Christ in his life. Now, of course, he's already spoken about that here in this letter to the Ephesians. He said, you know the same power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Because that power is now at work in you. So you know the power of God at work in you. Do you remember all those months ago when we said that we are a demonstration, the Christian is a demonstration of God's grace and of God's strength? Because the same power she used to raise Jesus from the dead is at work in us, his people. And so that's why we can live this life only by the power of God. But that power is known as we do what? What as we live by faith? As we are obedient to God's word by faith and put on the armour. That's how we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His power is known at work in us as we, in obedience by faith, do what he tells us to do. So that's why we've been instructed over these last 6 weeks to put on the six pieces of armour in the way in which we've been instructed to put them on. But that's why I wanted to zoom out a little this morning. Because in putting on those six individual pieces, what are we in effect doing? We are in effect putting on the whole armour of God. And in putting on the whole armour of God, what are we in effect doing? we are being strengthened in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now do you see that? We started off with the command to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How do we do that? Well, we do it by putting on the whole armour of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we put on these six individual pieces by faith. And having looked at these six individual pieces, this morning we're zooming out again and saying, oh, but we're putting those on that we might put on the whole armour of God, that we might find strength in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's how we do it, relying on the power of God. We put these things on by faith. Let me just recap that. Who is to do these things? The wonderfully blessed. The radically changed. The different, and so therefore people who must live differently. When and where are we to live like this? Always and everywhere. How are we to live this life? Only by the power of God, as we by faith put on this armour. Fourth and last question this morning. Then what are we to do? Well, we've seen we put on the six. And in putting on the six, we're putting on the whole armour. And in putting on the whole armour, we are finding strength in the Lord and in his mighty power. Very important we understand that. Those three stages are all one. The six pieces, the whole armour, which is how we are strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. But I want us to end with a second conclusion this morning. Because my heart and mind have just been a little bit troubled, and as we've looked at the detail of the six over the past 6 weeks, we might have found that the trees have hidden the wood. But you can't see the wood for the trees. But we've gone into the trees and we've looked at them in all of their glory and splendour, but we need to come out again this morning. So hold on, what was all that really about? Well, it's about finding strength in the Lord and in the power of his might. But my concern is that we might not have noticed, as we've gone into those six individual pieces of armour, we might not have noticed how Christ-centred it all is. And that's how I want to conclude this series on spiritual armour here this morning, by seeing how Christ-centred it is to put on the whole armour of God. Now, why do I say that? Right the way through the whole of this letter, Christ has been its theme. In the opening 14 verses of chapter 1, we read 11 times, in him, in him, in him, in him, in him, in him, and up to 11. That's his concern. That here are the believers, and their state is now that they are in Christ Jesus. They were once outside of him, without God and without hope. But now they are living in the very realm of Christ. They're deriving their life from Christ, their power from Christ. They're living to Christ. He is their all in all. When Paul uses that phrase, in Christ, he's speaking of the believer's union with Christ through faith. Now this morning we're either in Christ or we're outside of Christ. In Christ is those who've repented of their sins and trust Christ. And through their personal faith in Christ are in him, united to him. And that's been Paul's great theme. All of our blessings are in Christ. We were chosen before the foundations of the world in Christ. We are before him in love. Verses 7, 10, 11, 12, 13 of chapter 1 speak of in him, in him, in him. It's all about Christ. See, most people are happy to speak about religion this morning. Some people are happy to speak about Christianity this morning. But some people feel very uncomfortable when you come to speak about Jesus Christ. And being in Christ, being united with Christ, is what Christianity is all about. It's not about a set of rules and structures. It's about the man. We preach Christ Jesus. It's about us being in right relationship with the God that we, the Bible tells us, have hated and have been hostile to. And the only way that we can be right with God is not through our religion, but simply through faith in Christ. When Paul comes to speak about the radical change that has taken place in the lives of these people, he says, you have been raised with Christ. You've been seated in the heavenly realms in Christ. It's all Christ. That's the Christian's joy. Jesus Christ is our joy. He's our Saviour. He's the way, the truth and the life. He's our all in all. He's the commander-in-chief of his army. And the people of God love Christ. And that's been Paul's message all the way through. When he talks about how they became Christians, he says, you were taught him. But as you were taught him, you heard him. And in fact, as you were taught him by others, it was his voice that you heard through those who taught you. It was all him. He was the one that you were taught. He was the one whose voice you heard. He was the one by whom you were taught. It's all about Christ. That's why the apostles' prayer is that they would know Christ dwelling in their hearts through faith. That's his great desire for these people, that they know the reality of Jesus Christ in their lives. And that's been his theme right the way through this letter. And it doesn't change here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The emphasis of Jesus Christ does not change. Here we're looking at our utter dependence upon him for strength and victory. We are in Christ as Christians. We are one with him. His life, our life. His power, our power. His truth, our truth. We are one with him. And we are one with him because we've undergone this radical change, described as a putting off and a putting on. That was conversion. Putting off the old, putting on the new. That act of repentance and faith in Jesus leads to a life of constantly then putting on and putting off. Putting on the new characteristics, away with the old, such as putting away lying, which is one of the things we're told to do in this letter here. So we are Christians because once and for all we have put off and put on. As we've seen in our series, that leads to us then putting on and putting off every day. Part of that putting on is putting on the armour of God. Part of our daily putting on, having once and for all put off and put on, is our putting on of the armour of God. What I want simply to close with this morning is to say, the whole process of putting on is really a putting on of Christ. Very simply. The whole process of the believer daily putting on is really a process of putting on Christ. Having done that once and for all in a decisive step here of repentance. You see, here specifically, and with this we close, we're told to put on the whole armour of God. The whole armour of God. Now we could say, well, that means it's the armour which God supplies. It's his armour, the armour of God. It is. We could say it's of God because it's the armour that he wears. And we've seen how in Isaiah, the Lord of hosts is depicted wearing these very elements of armour that we've seen here in Ephesians 6. But what we're really doing is being told to put on God himself. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we should have seen that in a sense because what we're told to put on is truth, righteousness, salvation. Who is truth? Who is righteousness? Who is salvation? Jesus Christ is. We have once and for all laid aside the old life and put on the new. That leads to a life, as we saw before, of putting on and putting off. The putting on is about putting on Christ daily. Now, in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he actually uses that expression in Romans 13 and verse 12. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking to a people who are already Christians, so he's not telling them to become a Christian. He's saying, having become a Christian, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually does it in the context of telling us to have no more to do with the deeds of darkness, but to put on the armour of light. Now, the specific putting on and putting off that Paul is speaking of there is as putting on the character, the attitudes, the habits and the virtues of Jesus. He's really summing up the whole of our life of sanctification in saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that, he's looking for us to have Christ formed in us that we might be more Christ-like. When Paul uses that expression, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking about a daily habit in which we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already put him on in that we've become a Christian, but now we have to become in reality what we are. Now it's similar here in Ephesians 6. When in Romans 13 and verse 12 and following, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, you're a Christian. You have become a Christian. But now let it be worked out practically in your life. Become what you are. Be in practice what you are in position. Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, actually being to you what he is. And he's saying the same here. That's the essential part of all of our practical living. That we would grow day by day, week by week, becoming more and more what we really are. Which is one who's in Christ. And him actually being to us in practice what he really is. Now, of course, here Paul is not speaking about Christ-likeness. Here he's speaking about the strength that we need to be Christ-like and to stand in the battle. That's why he's saying to us here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need strength for the battle. And for that you need confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Trust him. It's your commitment to his strength and his power. Can you see that? We put the six on, we're putting on the complete armour of God, but in doing that we are finding strength in the Lord and in the might of his power as we commit ourselves, as we're trusting in his strength and power. His strength and power are found and known when by faith we put on the armour of God. But Jesus is the focus of those six pieces. He is the truth. So when we put on the truth, it's the truth about what? Well, primarily it's the truth about Jesus. And all that he is and all that he is to us as his people. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, who is our righteousness? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's walking daily by faith in the truth about righteousness, that Jesus Christ is my righteousness. He is the truth, he is my truth, he is my righteousness. I stand complete in him. What a beautiful Saviour, what a glorious Lord. It's about putting him on. When we put on peace, who are we putting on? Who is our peace? We've already been told, he is our peace. I have peace with God this morning because Jesus Christ is my peace. I'm putting him on. To do with faith, well, some of you will know that Galatians 20, chapter 2 and verse 20 can be read that we now live by the faith of the Son of God, by his faith. But certainly here we could say it's his faithfulness. It's his faithfulness that we trust in. It's his faithfulness that we depend upon. It's him. When we put on the helmet of salvation, who is our salvation? Who is our Saviour? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to wield the scripture word. Who is the living incarnate word? It's Jesus Christ. So when we put on those six pieces of armour, you can see how they all fit to him, his person and his work. It's our confidence in him being those things. Putting these six things on is us relying upon him being those things. Grasping the vital significance of him being these things for us. And him actually being to us practically every day all that he is. We make a great mistake today when we separate the blessings of Christ from Christ himself. Or the weapons of our warfare from Christ himself. The Christian life is all about Christ. All about him dwelling in us and us trusting him and the truth about him as we find it in his word. I wanted to close this morning by just showing the Christ-centeredness of spiritual warfare. We're soldiers at war. Our warfare is spiritual. We need not be conquered. We're to put on the whole armour of God, which means we're to live by faith in this new realm. But we're to do that as who we are, the wonderfully blessed, the radically changed, the different who must live differently. Having become what we've become, living as such always and everywhere. We're to find strength in the Lord and in the might of his power by putting on these things, which is really about putting him on, walking with him by faith, conscious of and confident in all that he is. That's the strength we're commanded to have. He is our all in all. The Bible could be summed up in two sentences. Put on Christ. Turn to him this morning. If you're not a believer, then you must come to put on Christ, which means to turn from your sin and to trust Christ for yourself, for the forgiveness of your sins. And once we've done that, we're to put on Christ, becoming more and more what we actually are, being in practice what we are in position, him actually being to us all that he is. The success of George S. Peyton was down to his competence and the soldiers' confidence in him as their commander. The success of an army is often related both to the competence of the commander and the soldiers' confidence in him. Christ is our Lord. Christ is the commander-in-chief of this army. Christ is the victorious one over sin and Satan and death and hell. Put him on. Trust him. How's your walk with him? How's your relationship with him? How's your intimacy with him? How's your dependence upon him for strength in the battle? Put him on.